Let's begin. We're up to Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. So yesterday we concluded the Sugi of Malka Shva. Short few psukim. We spent 2 days on it. Now we go further. Vahim Mishkal Hazav, Ashebo, Lishlomo. The remainder of this Perek discusses the enormous wealth, the awesome wealth of Shlomo HaMelech. And here it says the Mishkal, the weight of Zav Asher Bo L'Shlomo Bashana Echos, that came, I guess he collected taxes. The amount of gold which arrived at Shlomo's palace in 1 year, we have a very interesting number, Sheish Meos V'Shishim V'Sheish Kikrei Zav, 666. This was, now this was a few more psukim, pasuk yud dalid, levad, me'an shei hatorim, besides, this was in addition to the people who went on expeditions to acquire for Shlomo additional assets, wealth, and resources for his malchus. Just give me 1 second, I want to open up this Sefer. Okay, this was an addition. Levad Mianche HaTorim. Now, what are the Torim? Besides, jump right away to the Mitzudas Tzion. Torim is a very unusual word. I think we use it as the tour guides today, but over here, Meloshon Latour Esaretz, people that would explore. People who went out on expeditions to explore the world and to bring back to the Malchus, to Shlomo, wealth. Besides the people who went out on expeditions, the hasoicharim and merchants, miviim, besides what they would bring into the country, v'chol malchei arav ufachos aretz. Furthermore, the kings of the arav of the west, and the pachos aretz and the governors of the land, miviim zahav. They would also bring zahav v'chesef l'shlomo. Gold and silver to Shlomo, I guess, as gifts. Okay, fine. Okay, Arab is Aravia. Okay, fine. Arab country. Besides these other countries, also would provide well for them. Okay, let's take a look at these two psukim in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yud Gimel Mitzudos. David Asher Ba. It says they came, which arrived Asher Ba Min Ophir. This then would be a continuation of the previous psukim that they brought in special gold from Ophir. This was the amount of gold, 666. Levad pasuk yudalid. Levad, besides, chutz hazav asher lo himan shehatorim, besides the gold that was imported into the country from the torim, the explorers, the hasoicharim, the merchants, shahayu mivim, which they would bring. Now let's take a look at the Rashi pasuk yud gimel pasuk yudalid pasuk yudalid. There is no yud gimel pasuk yudalid. Milvad man shatorim shayu doya gimel avoid medina medina. They would worry to pass. It's a very unusual word, doyagim. I don't know why it says doyagim. Lashon of daiga. La'avor medina lemedina lemimalchus lemalchus below tayor without. V'hoyu noistim lo schar tayor. I'm not sure what that means exactly. So those that they would doyagim la'avor mi medina li medina mi malchus la malchus below tayor without a guide. V'hoyu noistim lo schar tayor, and they would pay. I guess okay. So anshe atarim means I guess the people who would travel through different countries that would not be familiar with the territory, so they would come on to a guide that would take them through the different lands. So here Rashi says, and I think the Radak says the same thing, is that why would the Seicharim bring gold? Because they really had another motive, to learn from Shlomo's Chochmah. But you just can't come, they were not able just to come, have an audience with Shlomo, to witness, to behold his Chochmah, just as a tourist. You had to have a good reason to enter the country, and the good reason was business. In other words, you make believe that you're going for business, but the truth is you're coming for pleasure. That was what they. That was the alila. They're called seicharim, merchants, and they're entering the country, and they're providing Shlomo with gold and silver and precious materials, but that was not their intent. Their intent was not to do business. Their intent was to use the business as an excuse to gain an audience with Shlomo and absorb, witness his incredible chokhmah. Okay, now this number, the Radak says, if you look in the Radak, okay, look at the Radak. The Radak Pasuk Yudal. He just also mentioned the difference between the Torim and the Seicharim. Hatorim hayu haim Seicharim haketanim. The Torim, which we call the people who were on expeditions, the Radak has a different interpretation. They were the small scale merchants. They did not have much business, and the Soicharim, the Radak says, they were Ma'ate Hasuchoros, the Asakim, the Hei Mechabshim Harbe Alamekach, the Alamemkar Lefisha Asakim Ma'at. They would spend a lot of time to come up with merchandise and to engage in commerce because they did not have much business. Lefichach nikram torim, they're called torim. Torim, they move about a lot. The word torim has a connotation that they're always on the move. The reason why they're always on the move is because they don't have much business and they're always searching for more business. Whereas the term the asoicharim, heim asoicharim hagedolim, these are the large scale merchants. They have lots of business. They have nothing to worry about, so they don't have to move about that much. People, in fact, they come to them. Okay, now I don't remember. I saw somewhere one of the mafarshim told us the exact number. How we got this number of 666?
We had before that they only had 440.
Right. So it was a combination of two different. I remember maybe it was in the Malbum. I don't remember where I saw this. There's a calculation of how we came to the number 666. It was a combination of different psukim in the past, of different amounts of gold and silver that were collected, and comes to a total of 660. And the six was a bit of a mystery. Is it not? It's not in the Malbim. It's not in the Radak, it's not in Rashi or the Mitzudos. I don't remember where I saw it. I saw it somewhere. How we came to that number, 666. It's not in any Midrash here. I don't know, I don't know where I saw it. Okay, but one thing I want to point out, that the number 666 is a very significant number in Jewish thought. What is the gematria of 666? We once started this on Friday. We went the whole drush on this. It's Mea Sha'arim. In Parshas Toldos, when the Torah wants to describe the success of Yitzchak, I think it's right before Shlishi. Yitzchak, he planted the Vayigdal Ho'ish, referring to Yitzchak. Yitzchak became great. Vayelech Holoich V'Godel. His success was greater and greater, ad ki godal meod, until he was extremely great. Vayilo imikne itzon imikne bakar vavuda rabba vayikanu vo plishtim. They were jealous. Let me jump back. Okay, let me go back. I'm sorry. I skipped. He was talking. Vayitzav melech eschalom lema hanogei bo ish hazev uvishal mosimas vayizra yitzchak baoretz ahi vayimtza bashana ahi meyos sha'arin. He was blessed with 100 measures. Vayivarecheu Hashem, Hashem blessed him. Rashi pasuk yud beis. What does it mean? Ne'ah sharim. Bashana hahi alpish. Even though it was a year sheni ketikna shahayis hashnas ravon, it was a bad year, a year of famine. There was a recession. It didn't make a difference. He was successful. Baruzahim bashanahi shneim lama lema sharitz kasha. The land was a poor quality. V'ashana kasha. Yet ne'ah sharim shamdu hakama ruuya lasos. They made an evaluation. How much is the land fit to produce? The osesa al achas. Shamduha Meya. They evaluated that you'll get a return for your investment for $1. And instead, what was the return on investment? $100. 100 times more than they expected. Meya Sha'arim. This represents the ultimate bracha. The ultimate bracha by Vayivarecheu Hashem, Hashem blessed him. And what's the gematria of Meya Sha'arim? 666. Where else do we find the significance of the number 666? Parshas told us which parsha in the Torah? The sixth parsha. What's the sixth aliyah begin with? V'yitin l'cha ha'lokim mital ha'shamayim. And what does that bracha begin with? The vav v'yitin l'cha, which Rashi tells us, yitin v'yachzar v'yitin. 666. The sixth parsha, the sixth aliyah, which begins with the letter vav, which also represents the concept of the bracha. The number 666 in Jewish thought represents the concept of the ultimate bracha. As the pasuk says, Me'a sha'arim v'yivarecheu Hashem. Therefore, when the pasuk here says that Shlomo HaMelech brought in a year after his malchus was established, 666 talents of gold, this is the way of Chazal telling us, of the Navi telling us, of the Sefer telling us, that Shlomo reached the peak, the climax, the perfection, the totality of success. 666 talents of gold. It's a very significant number. I would joke with you, last time we learned this, is that if you go to Mea Sharm in Eretz Yisrael, you should want to buy real estate, try to buy the address 666. Because 666 is the gematria of Mea Sharm, represents the ultimate success. If they have, you have to go Google it. I'm sure you can probably go on the line. You can go see the session address in Mea Sharm, 666. Knock on the door and see who lives there. See if the living... in Ashurus. Okay, so this is something which very interesting idea. Okay, let's go further. This was the Pasik Tezva, Vayas HaMelech Shlomo Mosaim. Now Shlomo is going to take, he's going to make shields, a tzina. Tzina is a certain type of shield which covers you from the three sides. It's like a partition almost. Let's see, Vayas HaMelech Shlomo Mosaim Tzina, Zohav Shochut. There are seven types of gold. Zahav shochut means gold which can be molded. It can be pressed and shaped in different ways. So he made 200 shields from gold called Zahav shochut. Sheish me'os Zahav shochut. He would take 600 Zahav shochut yale al hatzinu ha'achas. 600 measures of gold shochut would be used to produce one of these shields. And how many shields? 200 shields. What were these shields used for? Let's go further. And these shields were made, we'll see in a moment, they were made for his palace, they were made for design. Pasuk Tezayin, Ushlosh Meos Moginim Zav Shochut. He also made 300 Moginim. A Mogin is not a Tzina. A Mogin is something which you hold in your hand. It does not cover your entire body. A Mogin only protects
tzina
you.
Tzina is in the body. A Mogin is in the hand.
A mogin is in the heel. The mogin only protects the front of the body. The tzina protects three sides of your body. Ushloshmos moginim zav shachut, also made from zav shachut. Shloshmos here, instead of using 600, he only used 300. Shloshmos zav yale al mogin measures 300 measures, not clear what the measure is, of gold. Yale al mogin u'echos. What did he do with all of these shields? Vayitneim hamelech bebeis yar halavon. He put this in his palace. His palace was located in yar halavonon. In this palace called the Yar, the forest, Halavonon. It wasn't the forest, it was the name of a palace, which he called by the Halavonon, and they were used there as a design, some type of decoration, something symbolic. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but this is what it was used for. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David, these two psukim, Pasuk Tezvav, the Mitzudos David, Tzina, what is it, Tzina? Oh, look at the Mitzvah Tzion. He tells you what it is. Tzina. Tzina hu ke'ein malbush makuf es haguf. Lahat l'makas cherev kumo ha'tzina rotson ta'atrita. We have a pasuk until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may you envelop me with a tzina of rotson, a shield of will. It appears that it's more like a box.
It's something. It
was for design. It's symbolic. It's symbolic that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting Klal Yisrael. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David. Sheish Meois Zahav Ratzulemar Din Rei Zav. So the measure here is dinorim. Dinorim of gold is what would protect. Yale Hayinich Nasbo would enter into this one shield. Pasik. Fine. And where would he put this? The base Yahal Vana, Bayis Kadal, also the Yahal Vana, Kamashkos of Malach, and he made a very magnificent palace. He made a magnificent palace in Yahal Vana, and that's where these shields were located. Let's take a look at the Rashi quickly. Rashi Pasik Tezov. Mosayim Sinat Sinat Makeves Agodam Mishalosh Ruchoisav. It surrounds a person from three sides. Hu Shokosav Kitsini Rotson Tatvini, with the two quarters of the same Pasik, Zov Shachut, Zohov Rach. What does it mean, Zov Shachut? Shachut means soft. The Noach Leharka, it's easy to turn into plates, to make thin plates of this type of gold. Meirov Chashivuso, Shinitre Kuchut. And the reason why it's called Shachut, from the word chut. Chut means strands. Because of its chashivus, they would make from this gold strands, thread of gold. That's why it was called Zahav Shachut. It's very soft. You're able to actually take this gold and make out of it threads. That's why it's called Shachut. Sheish, then he made also shields, 300 shields. Next Rashi, and he put on each shield sheshmeo zav sheshmeo zuhuvim. So the Tzudo says he used 600 dinarim, and he used another word called zuhuvim, who sheshmonim, and this is sheshmonim shazav hu adinar. So this is going to be mon is 100. So there are the zuhuvim. He says indeed is shazav hu adinar. The zuhuvim are dinarim. There are. In one money, you have 100. So since you are 600, that means 6 money went in to making one of these sinoirim, one of these shields. Okay, he put this in the Yahar Bona Rashi, based Gadol Bona. He built a magnificent palace in the Yahar Bona Shlomo Yerushalayim. Kedemuchak lekaman v'chol oisa maginim lokach shishak. What happened to these shields? What was the end? So this goes into Sefer Melachim. This was taken away by Sheshak. When there was a war, there was a war with the Plishtim, and he took it away. And actually, it was another Plishtim. It could be one of the kings of, I don't remember who it was. We'll come to it eventually. Sheshak, what, Mitzrayim?
Yes.
The king of Mitzrayim, okay. So he was eventually seized. These expensive shields were eventually taken away by Egypt. And he made this. From the abundance of the atzeh halavanon hagadolim asan. In other words, these shields were based on wood. The inside of the shields were wood, and they were plated with this gold. Kilosib emolachim vayiven es beis hayah halavanon al arba tu arazim v'sham nasan aisham aginim. And there he built, and there in that location, that palace, he put these shields. V'hu shakasa v'tabet v'yamahu el neshek.
Atzeh halavanon
goes on the palace. Sorry, so the palace. The shields maybe were metal. Okay, then it's not clear. The shields might have been made from metal in order to prevent them from, if you were using the war, it couldn't be penetrated. So maybe it was metal, it was plated with gold, and the palace was made from wood. But even as Bezayas Halavana al Arbaturi arose on 4 rows of cedar, the Shamnos Danosim Aginim, and in that palace he put these shields, and Yeshayu talks about that at the time when they were being attacked. During the time of Chizkiyahu, when Klal Yishol was under attack, so they looked at the base Yar HaLevanon, already 250 years later since Shlomo built the Yar HaLevanon, they took out the weapons. They took out the weapons, the shields in the Yar HaLevanon, and they used them in self-defense. And that's what's mentioned there in Sefer Yeshaya. Okay, now that concludes the mention of his enormous wealth, what he did with the special gold. Now we come to his throne. Pasuk Yud. In Sefer Melachim, there's a lot more elaboration on exactly the HaLevanon. In fact, it's a very detailed the description of what the palace looked like, the palace in the Beis Yar HaLevanon, and there's a lot of the difference of opinion exactly how it was made. The way I know this is because they have, if you look in the picture, there are 3 major picture books available today. There's the Art Scroll, the Rubin edition, and there is this sefer right here called the Beis Hamikdash HaRishon, it's a 4 volume set, the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, and HaShlishi. And then there's another excellent sefer called Tavnis HaBayis. It's been published pretty recently. It's an excellent sefer. Also has a very detailed description of what it looked like. And what's so interesting is they all differ very, very, very different. The way the psukim are interpreted are completely different, and they present you with a very different picture of what the Beis Yar HaLevanon look like. But all we need to know for now is that he doesn't make any mention of the details. In this space, Yar HaLevanon, Shlomo's palace, he put there these shields. 2 different types of shields. There was a tzina, and there was a mogen. Okay, let's go further. Let's now go to the throne. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayas Hamelech Kisei Shein Godol. Now here in Sefer Melot, in Divrei Hayamim, for whatever reason, we do have a lot of details about his throne. He made here a kisei of Shein Godol. Shein is ivory. Okay?
Elephant.
Now, maybe you can elaborate. The hide, I'm not familiar with ivory, is the hide of an elephant. Is that correct?
Not the hide.
No?
Tusk.
What's the tusks? What is the tusks?
The two, comes out of by the nose.
So that, the two sides. Now, why is it called a shein? Why is it called a tooth?
Because teeth is made from ivory, too, it looks like. It looks and like an elephant doesn't really have teeth.
What?
An elephant doesn't really have teeth. The two tusks are
its own. Are its teeth. Those two tusks are its teeth? That's the equivalent?
An elephant eats only leaves.
It doesn't chew.
It just swallows.
So that's why it's called a shein, because that is the equivalent of its teeth?
Yes.
Okay. So this is where it comes from. He made, for whatever reason, why is this material so valuable?
Because ivory is rare.
Do we have ivory available today? Can I go to the store and buy ivory?
It's
now illegal. Walrus also has it.
But is it available today? Is it common today? You don't see this, right?
Well, it's illegal in America. To sell ivory, you have to prove, you have to have a date.
It's on
the license. It was before the law went into effect, the ivory was taken from piano.
Wow.
So, a certain amount of years old.
So the United States, it does Kama doesn't exist?
If it's new, you can't.
An elephant has to be a certain amount of years old.
Of course, they grandfathered in what you owned before they went into law.
Right. So what is it like? Leather? What does it feel like?
No, it's like a bone.
A bone?
Piano keys?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm not familiar with this at all. I don't know. He's describing his success, that Shlomo HaMelech was extremely successful. The bracha that Hashem gave David was fulfilled. Well, the least we can learn is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you bracha, and you can be certain that Hashem is true to His word, He will fulfill His bracha. And the fact is, look at Shlomo HaMelech. The bracha was fulfilled. Let's see what it says. Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shein, He made a throne out of ivory. Godol Vayitzapeh Zahav Tahar. Here we have another type of Zahav Tahar. This is not Zav Shechut. This is Zav Tahar. Now, we're going to describe it in more detail. I have, in fact, here a picture. And I have here a Medrash, which I'm going to hand out to you. We're going to go through the Medrash at the end. But I didn't make a copy because it's very hard to make a... There are so many picked parts of this throne, it's really hard to make a copy. I'll pass it around for you later on. You can look at it. Basically, there's an attempt to illustrate what it says here in the Psukim, and what it says in the Melachim, what it says in the Medrash, an extremely elaborate throne. This throne was, all of the kings of the world were extremely jealous of this throne, and were chalishing for them to either have a replica, or for them to actually get their hands on the original. It appears there was technology that we're not aware of built into this throne with a complex set of magnets. Maybe there was special supernatural powers that went into this throne. We're going to see in the Midrashim, we're going to see what it says here in the Psukim, but it was a supernatural type of throne. It corresponded, according to Chazal, to the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each part of this throne symbolically represents something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. Let's see.
Arouses the jealousy of all the nations.
Yes, all the nations were extremely jealous. It's very bizarre. Today, are there any? Do we find kings of the world having a desire to have thrones? Leaders of the world?
In England, they have all kinds of thrones.
But it doesn't mean anything today.
They charge
plenty of. It doesn't mean these things don't have any meaning. Oh, let's see. Okay, Pasik Yud Zayin. Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shein, the throne of ivory. Godol Vayitzapeh Zav Tahar. V'sheish Malas L'Kisei. There were six steps. Okay, that's very important. Why six steps? Because on the two sides, it's not so much the steps. It's on the two sides of the steps, we have lions and different items which come to a total of 12, representing the 12 Shavuotim of Klal Yisrael. The number 12 is much more symbolic in Klal Yisrael than the number 6. The 6 has two ends. Each end is significant, so it's 6 times 2 for a total of 12. V'sheish malas l'kisei. But before you come to the actual steps, v'chevesh ba'zohov l'kisei, there was a ramp that led from the ground to the first step. Mo'ochozim means it was firmly attached to the bottom step. There was a ramp that was attached to the bottom step upon which you would ascend to get to the bottom step. V'yadois mizeh mizeh, and there were bars, I guess handlebars. There were handles, or there was a rim along the two sides. Al mekoyim hashaves, along the two sides where he would sit, along not where he would sit, but along the rest area of the steps. Ushnayim arayos omdim etzel hayados, and there were two lions that stood etzel hayados near these sides. Okay, along these sides there were two massive lions. I'll pass around the picture soon.
A real lion?
No, these are not real lions. They're lions made from gold. Now that's a very big question. You know, you're asking an excellent question, because Allah in the Torah, you're not allowed to make an image of anything that appears in this world, a real image. So how are they allowed to make an image of a lion? You're allowed to make, when it comes to the Israel of Pesel, for things that exist in this world, only three-dimensional replicas. So it's a very big question. All the Farshim, they struggle with this. So one answer is that the prohibition is for a Jew to make it. This was not made by a Jew. It was made by Goyim. Goyim made this. There's no prohibition for you to own it, as long as you did not make it. Another in what?
You can buy a Michelangelo statue.
A statue, exactly. A statue you can buy, but you can't make the statue. That's one answer.
That's why Gemara gets into the whole idea of Gemara about having a factory, like a doll factory.
Right,
talks about that kind of imprinting
of making something which is an exact image. Okay, people say people have dolls. No, most people are not makbit. People are not makbit today. People who are very makbit, so they damage the nose of the creature of the doll. It shouldn't be exactly. But most people.
The other of it is selling what's called a barrel. They took a beer with a chip inside, and it speaks Yiddish. And it's called Yiddish toys. They say.
Okay. So simply Yadas means that I tune armrest. Okay, I'm assuming here. Let's go back. V'sheish malis l'kisei. There were 6 steps. L'kisei v'chemesh v'zab l'kisei. There was a ramp which led to the kisei. V'yadis mizem mizem. There were armrests. Let's translate the word yadis mizem. There were an armrest. There were 2 armrests along the chair. Al mekayim hashavas, right along the side of the resting part of the chair. Shnayim arayos oimdim etzel hayados. There were 2 lines that stood right by the armrest. Another answer given is that these lions serve the purpose. The only time it's prohibited to make the image of a lion of a creature is only when it's just to serve, when it does not serve a function. These lions, we're going to see in the Medrash, would actually roar. How did it roar? Either some supernatural power, or it was some magnetic, some technology that we are not familiar with. And the purpose of the lion's roaring was to scare the witnesses to testify the truth. There was a concern that a witness would testify with Sheker. Since these lions were there to instill fear in the hearts and minds of the people that would come before the throne of Shlomo, they served a function. And when an object that is a replica of a real object serves a function, according to some opinions, there is no prohibition of making a pesel. The prohibition to make a pesel, to make the image of something that exists in this world, is only when it's just there for show. It stands there and does nothing. But when it's doing something, then there's no prohibition, and these lions roared, which feared the witnesses, and it's not prohibited. Let's go further. In addition to these 2 lions that stood along the armrest of the chair, there were another 12 lions that stood along the 12 steps going up the the six steps. Okay, well, I'll pass around the picture. You'll see that there were another 12 lions. There was no other kingdom which had the likeness, anything close to this type of throne. Now he goes on to discuss other things. Let's look at the Mesudas and Rashi, and then I'll pass around the Medrash, and we'll try to run through it a little bit of a taste of what this throne was like. Let's see the Rashi, Pasuk Yud, Mitsudos, Pasuk Yud Zayin. There is no Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Ches V'Chevesh Bazov. There was a gold ramp which allowed the king to ascend from the ground to where the steps were. Koidim Sha'asu Al Hamailos. Before that, you would ascend, or Sha'asu, I'm not sure how the word Sha'asu is being used. You would ascend to the steps. Ha Yu'asu Keves Mizov. There was a ramp of gold. V'Derech Bo, and through the ramp, Allah Hamailos L'Shevesh L'Kisa. You would go up these. Or you go up this ramp to come to the steps to then ascend to the throne. Lekisei mu'chazim, chayzer hu al hamalos. It was referring to the steps. The steps were attached. The word mu'chazim means firmly attached. Loimar shehem hayu mu'chazim lekisei. The yadois. There was an armrest along the flat portion of the chair. Ke'ein zeroyos yatsu etzel mukayim hayishiva lihishayin abohem. Shlomo would lean on, would rest his arms on these rests. Aroyos asuyu mezav. These were not real lions. Were made from gold. Mizeh, mizeh. There were another 12 lines along the side. Sheish, mizeh, v'sheish, v'shisha, mizeh. Rashi. Pasuk Yudzayin, Kisei, Shein, Shein, Shel, Peel. The tooth of a elephant. It does not have an elephant. It means the tusks. It means the ivory. The ivory of a, that's a very precious material. That's what they used to make the throne. I guess that's the part that he sat on. The actual chair was fashioned, the material of the chair that he sat on was made from ivory. V'sheish malos l'kisei, madregois la'alois bo steps. V'yodos mizeh mizeh l'mukam ha'shoves k'min makalois. There were sticks, there were rods. Mipeo l'peo, from end to end. Mi'imin u'mismol, on the right and the left. L'smach z'rois of aleim, in order to rest his arms. Shnayim aroyos umdes etzla yodos. There were two lions, shal zov. These lions made from gold. V'chol tzuas ha'kisei, v'tzuas ha'chayos shabakisei. And all of this is found in the Targum of Megillas Esther. Now, before I give you out the handout of the Targum of Megillas Esther, why was it in the town of Megillas Esther? Because Achashverosh desperately wanted this throne. Now, it appears this throne had a long history. It was damaged. It appears the first one to take hold of this throne was Paro Necho. Paro Necho lived towards the end of the Bayis Rishon. That was approximately, the Bayis Rishon lasted for 410 years. Yoshiyahu died 22 years before the Churban. So that takes us to the end, 388 years. 388 years into the Bayis Rishon is when Shlomo HaMelech died. Who went to battle against Yoshiyahu? Paro Necho. Necho, it also can be read as Neche. Neche Raglai means a cripple. It appears that at some point in time, Paro Necho, he got his name Necho, he got hold of this throne. How did he get hold of this throne? It's not clear either. He captured it, or there was a previous battle when another king had it, and it made its way to his possession. He tried to sit on it, and there was an accident. The throne was made that if you're not deserving, if you're not a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech, the throne will kill you or will cripple you. And the throne detected that the wrong person was trying to ascend, and it gave him a shot in the hip, and he was crippled. So Paro, the king of Egypt, got his name Paro Necho because he became a Neche Raglayim when he attempted to sit or to ascend this throne. That's one story about the throne. Another story, another Medrash tells us, could be. Another story relates that the same thing happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar also took hold of the throne when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Later on, obviously, going fast forward another 22 years, he also got a hold of the throne. He also tried to ascend or sit on the throne. And he also, doesn't say that he was crippled, but he was injured. He was injured and he limped for the rest of his life due to the damage that the throne inflicted upon his hip. Who else was chalishing for this throne? Go fast forward another 70 years. Achashverosh. Now it appears Achashverosh, correct, it appears Achashverosh, according to the Medrash, did not want to tamper the throne itself. He knew of the history that it's dangerous, but so instead he was a little smarter. He had his experts design a replica. Now where did they design? Now where was the capital of Persia? It was not Shushan. It was somewhere else. I don't know where it was. So there was another capital originally. What?
Elam,
that was the capital of Persia. Okay, Paras. Where was the craftsman? Where was the warehouse where they were designing the throne? In Shushan Habira. That's where the warehouse was, and they imported the best craftsmen in the world to make a replica of the Kisev Shlomo. And they finished it. It was actually finished. And then Achashverosh said, okay, bring it to Elam. Let's bring out the big trucks, we'll shut down the street and we'll transfer it. They couldn't. It was so massive and so heavy, they came to the realization that if they try to transport the throne to where Achashverosh was located, it would break, it would be ruined. So Achashverosh said, you know what, if I can't bring the throne to me, I'll go to the throne. We'll relocate, it's an amazing medrash, we will relocate the capital, we will relocate the palace to where the throne is. So they knocked down the whole surrounding area, and they built the palace and a city all around the throne. That's what it says, and that's what it says in the pasuk. You have to know the pasuk. V'haya kish, beginning of the Megillah. V'haya kishiftai. V'haya kish. Before that, Asher b'Shushan Habira.
So is written chaser.
What? Why is it written chaser?
Written chaser.
Yeah.
Above.
Yeah.
And therefore they.
In the very beginning of the Megillah, okay, here it is, Bayom, second pasuk, right in the very beginning, Bayom Imohem, Kishaves Hamelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchuso. The Kisei Malchuso was a replica of what we just read, these two psukim, with this ivory throne with lions and hand rests, 12 steps, lions, and a lot more here. I'm going to hand that to you in the Medrash.
Did they roar?
What?
The lions roared?
I don't know. It doesn't say to what degree he was successful. It does not say. Maybe. You know, there are mysteries. There are mysteries in the world that they had technology. There's no question about it. That in ancient times, they had technology that we don't know about. There are things that we don't know about. There are definitely things, so it could very well be that to some degree he was successful in replicating the Chokhmah. But let me read you the pasuk. Let me read you the diak of the pasuk, the second pasuk in the Megillah. Bayam Mohem Kisheves, those days which means there was a chiddush, something very strange happened, Gesundheit. Something, Kisheves Hamelech Achashverosh, Al Kisei Malchuso, Asher, the throne, the Medrash says, the throne was B'Shushan Habira. The throne was designed in Shushan Habira with the intent to transport it to the capital of Paras, and they were unable to do so. So they had no choice but to bring Achashverosh and his Malchus, his support team and the entire capital to where the throne was located, which was in Shushan Habira. It's an amazing desire to sit on such a throne. Now let me hand out this medrash. Let's just go through it to get a little bit of a taste of the throne. This is only one of many midrashim. Okay. There are many midrashim about the Kisei Shel Shlomo.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is from whatever it says there. This is from it's a midrash.
Yeah, I have it from the Rava. Some difference.
Right. This because there it also mentions Al Kisei. He just quoted it. That's a sefer which he puts different midrashim in. Okay, let's read through it very quick. Let's review. Al Kisei Hashem LeMelech. Now this is the Medrash going on the Kisei Hashem. Now this throne corresponds, parallels the Kisei Hashem. The case that Hoya also Akisei, how is made? Hoya mechubosh, it was covered by Avonim Tovus Margolios, the throne was covered with precious stones and pearls. Kamohu lo nasa l'chomelch, v'sheish malos hoya, there were six steps. U'mishesh malos hoya oylebo, he would ascend on these six steps. V'sheish derachim hoyulo, there were six paths. V'al kol derech sheish malos. Now, a lot of these, I'm not clear what these things. There were six drachim, and on each derech, there were six malos. V'al kol malo, on each step, shnei aroyos, two lions. Uvi magonon hoya oyla, a magnet. Okay, this is some word which means some type of magnet or some type of technology. When he would ascend, there would be a series of magnets would go into operation. What do we mean? The cave on Shamelech Dereis, when the Melech would step on the first step, Hoyu Hoaroyos Poshtenis Yodehem, the lions would extend their paws one to the other, all 12 lions. There was a pasuk that was etched into their paws. He would turn to his right, and the lion, or I'm not sure who would call out, they would call out. Who would call out? Would Shlomo call out? Would the lion call out? Lo sakiru fonim b'mishpat. There would be a warning. Seemingly, the lion itself would call out, "Do not favor, do not show favoritism in judgment." Panelismoloi. He would then turn to his left. Foyakore lo sikach shoychat. Next, there were psukim from Tanakh that expressed the prohibition for a judge.
All from the parsha
of a melech, not to be corrupt.
Pertaining to a melech.
To a melech, but notice the emphasis. One thing, a very strong sense you get from the throne is the throne was for mishpat. It's not just a throne you sit for covet. Right? If you ask the average person, what's the purpose of a throne? You go look at all these pictures today of modern kings. They sit on their throne. They sit on these magnificent thrones. What do they do there? Take pictures. Nothing going to take a picture. It doesn't have any significance. This throne was a throne that was used in Mishpat. That's a very powerful lesson that the Medrash tells us. Every single aspect of this throne was judgment. Further, every step was paved with precious stones. Mehen levonos, mehen yerukos adam demes. Some were white, some were green, reddish green. The avne kristolinon, crystal. Crystals were there. The ilone tamarim, makiv lekise. And they were trees, palm trees, that surrounded the throne. Mechoyrochin bevigdei sheish. They were draped with linen. Vitavosim shel shein muchonim k'neged kanf neshamim. They were geese of vitavosim shel shein. Peacocks of shein, of ivory. Peacocks made out of ivory that were prepared right in front of the eagles. There were two pillars of marble on top of the lions. And there were two lions of gold. This is what we learned in the pasuk. This is the part that says in the parashat pasuk, lions of gold that were right on the two sides of the throne. And it was filled with all different types of spices. Period. Now here's something interesting. There were two chairs. In addition to Shlomo's, the centerpiece, the throne that Shlomo sat on the two sides of the throne, there were two smaller chairs. And I'll pass around the picture, you'll see the two chairs. And who sat on these two chairs? One was for God. There were two major prophets in the time of Shlomo. God HaChoyze, he was the one that was present when, at the end of David's life, and told David, "You made a big mistake by counting Klal Yisrael." And V'yecho L'Nosan HaNavi, Nosan was the one that advised David about building the Beis HaMikdash. So they sat in the front, the two major Nevim of the day sat at the front of the throne. Further, the Shivim Koted Ro'os Makiv L'Kise, and there were 70 chairs that surrounded, and like a semicircle, the back of the throne. You'll see in the picture. Makifin Lakise Shil Lashim Zakane for the 70 Zakane of Klal Yisrael. The Al Kol Derech V'Derech Shnei Aroyos Shnei Yisrael. And now, as he ascended each step, there were two lions and two Nishorim Oimdim Avagleim Zek Neged Zeh. In addition to the lions, there were two eagles. that stood on the feet opposite each other, and when he would ascend the first step, then the wheel would turn in the magnet, some type of mechanism. This is amazing. Es yodoy shel yemin, v'nesher gapoy shel smol, v'hamelech nishon aleihem v'oil l'mala hashniya. As he ascended each step, he was assisted by the paw of the lion and the wing of an eagle. Okay, there was a lion and an eagle, and as he took a step, the magnet, there's some type of sensor that sensed that he was stepping on the step, and the lion gave his hand, and the eagle extended the wing, and he would lean on these two items as he ascended. He pulled himself up to the next step. Amen al Milo, he stood on the step, the gagal choizer, and the wheel would turn, the hanesha paisha gaba shall yamin, varida shall smova milknish nalem voila, the chinukul chol milo milo, yatava shall kesef toan bimagan lamelech, umayshiva lakise, and there was a goose of silver that was supported by a magnet, umayshiva lakise, and that put him on the throne. When he finally got to the upper step, he see that goose helped him sit down. And there was eagles that spread their wings and covered him from above. There were eagles that protected him from above. Okay, that you really see well in the picture. In the picture they showed here, there is a nesher on top that gave him shade from above. It's all very, very bizarre. Okay, let's just finish the guard. The yoina shows off. There was a yoina. When he sat down on the throne, all of a sudden came a dove. Yeredes min ho'amud ufaisachas es ha'oroin, opened up the oroin, v'noiteles es ha'toira, v'nosno oisa al birkav l'kai ma'ashneman v'hoi so'ima v'kabur kol mechayav. When he sat down on the throne, a yoina, a dove, did psicha. There was an oroin ha'kodesh somewhere there. And a yoina, not a person, a yoina, whether it was a real yoina or whether it was a yoina shalzav, a magical yoina shalzav did psicha. Okay, the Mechaber opened up the Aron, took out a Sefer Torah, and put the Sefer Torah on the lap of the king. Then a lion stuck out extended its paw. Now here's something fascinating. The crown. The crown was then extended. The noisna al roishai, the oimdim sham, people that were standing there, they said, Toko malchus beistavilil, they gave him a bracha. May your malchus be established forever. And on each step, and there's also something fascinating, on each step, in addition to the lions, which are mentioned in the pasuk, and the eagles, which are not mentioned here in the pasuk, they were also non kosher creatures. They were chayos tohoros, kineged tmeos, kosher and non-kosher, different types of wild animals. They show that in the picture. B'mal Rishonu was a shor uchenegdoi ari, an ox opposite a lion. Shnia tole a lamb uchenegdoi was a wolf. Shlishus gidi uchenegdoi number a leopard. Revius svi a deer uchenegdoi dev a bear. Chamishus nesh uchenegdoi yoina. Shishus nates, some type of bird uchenegdoi tzipor, a kosher bird. A hawk and a tzipor is a
pigeon.
Okay, who oile v'noise and shalom b'neihem, and he would oile v'noise sein, and he would give peace between them. I don't know what that means exactly. That his existence, Shlomo's existence, would bring peace between the chayos hatohayos and the tameos.
You have predator and
okay. For Yakari al Kalmail Lamala Pasuk Echad al Mala Rishonami would say Taras Hashem Tmima Meshivas Nafesh. These are the psukim that we say during the hakafos. Okay, there are six steps, and during the six hakafos, that's where it comes from. Very interesting. On Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, and Shmini Atzeres, by the way, is the Ushpizin of Shlomo HaMelech. That's what it says in all the Svarim. We have the Ushpizin, the first 7 days of Sukkot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe and Aaron, Yosef, David. And then what about Shmini Atzeres? Shlomo. What do we do with Shmini Atzeres? Hakafas. What do we do during Hakafas? if you say those things during our, pay attention to what they're saying during our kafos, they say these six psukim, Teres Hashem Tamima, and these indeed are the psukim that are said when Shlomo was sent each one of the steps. Teres Hashem Tamima Snefesh, Roshin Eid Hashem Ne'amonim, Chimas Pesim, Beshul Bekud Hashem Yishom Yisam Chilev, Bervias Miz Hashem Bar Mir Sinoyim, Bachamish Hashem Tohara Menes Load, Bashishis Mishpe Hashem Tzadku Yachtov. Okay, these are the six psukim on the six steps, exactly the same psukim. These are the, you know, they say Tamima, that Nigun. That's the first hakafa, and the second hakafa they go to the next pasuk. You pay attention. They don't say to you the first time. And the second, these six psukim, these are exactly the six psukim that are said in the six steps of the kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. The achach v'yesh Shlomo al kisei Hashem v'chayin gadol. The seven hakafa you don't say anything. The second hakafa doesn't have a it's susharim. You don't do anything special. The achar koch yeshev shloim al kisei Hashem, the choyin gadol, the Sanhedrin boim v'sholim v'shloimah v'yoshim yiminu v'smol yisun his right and his left, v'don imo yesadin, they participate in the judgment. Shloim boim ha'idim lufnei hamelech, then hamagonin, the magnets, poikin, they go forth, v'galgalin choizrin, they go, the wheels turn and the magnets move about.
What do you think the magnets?
Is that what it means? Magonin?
In modern Hebrew, it means mechanism.
The mechanism, okay. The mechanism go forth, and the galgalim, chayzrim, and the wheels turn. There's some type of mechanism which goes forth and the wheels turn. The haroyos noyamim, the lions roar.
He could be right, because like there's wheels, there's gears.
There's a water.
Okay.
Problem. It was water.
We don't know what it was. It doesn't say.
One direction.
It doesn't say what it was. Hydraulics. Hydraulics. Who knows? It was mole chochma. Varoyos noyamim, the lions roar, v'neshan parchim, and the eagles, they flap their wings. V'hatavosim mitzaf tzifim, and the geese, they chirp. V'chol kachlama, why? When a witness, when the witness comes forward, the wheels turn, the mechanism, the gears, everything starts. Everything is moving. When the witnesses come forth, everyone, all the activity begins. Why? Why were the lions roaring and the wings, the eagles moving their wings and the geese making sounds and all the wheels are turning in order? Here is the key. This is the key. V'kol kach lama kidei lachtoif libam v'yoidu ho'emes. The whole purpose of this whole majestic kisei hakavod is to impress upon the person, is to put fear in the person's heart. You should live a life of emes. Testify emes. The first thing Hashem did, man is called v'yipach pa'ap of nishmas chayim v'hi adon l'nefesh chaya, the targum Ruach memalala. Man's koyach is the koyach hadibor. But the koyach hadibor you can use for sheker. The ikur koyach hadibor is the shlemus of the malchus of the Beis Hamidrash, and the malchus of David, the Shlomo, is the kisei of Shlomo. You should testify emes before the kisei of Shlomo. Okay, so this is just a little teeny tit, the little tibush shabayam of what the Shlomo is all about. There's a lot more to the kisei of Shlomo. This is just one thing that's easy to for me to get hold of, because it has nekudos, and it's on one page. But there are many other midrashim. In fact, here in this sefer, he has a much more elaborate medrash, where from a sechta seferim, this targum, Yishami, I don't even know where, I don't even pay attention where it comes from. And here he has the words, it's in Aramaic, and he has a translation in Hebrew, and he has a lot of different pictures showing you piece by piece all the different parts of the throne. Some of them are what we learned. One thing that's totally not mentioned here in this throne is there was this magnificent menorah. Magnificent menorah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 14. 15 of 15 neros. We think we have a big menorah of 8 neros. This was a menorah of 15 neros that was in the back of the kisei, and on these branches was etched a lot of ushpizim. Who are the ushpizim? Adam, Noach, Shem from the beginning, Eiv, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, Moshe, Aaron, Eldad, Nadad, the whole Yichus, the Yichus of Shlomo. Not only Shlomo, not only Shlomo of the Kohen. I'm not exactly sure who why Dafka these names. Okay, but I'll pass this around and take a quick look on the last couple of pages to get a little bit of an appreciation of this magnificent Kisei Shel Shlomo.
One of the things I was on the topic of Sendel and Davis, and I don't understand what it means. It says, Dorach and Akisei Shem Don, Loyeda Masroa, Akisei Shlomo Don, Loyeda Masroa.
Okay, so that's the it's a pasuk in Yeshayah, Vihirichoi Beiras Hashem, that Melech HaMashiach will have the koyach to smell a person. And from his smell, you can tell if he's saying the truth. You don't even need to have witnesses. I don't know what that means. This is
the Israelis developed a machine that smells your feet or your what's it called? Phenoms.
They use it for airport security.
Right, phenoms is called.
Airport security.
So what was this whole setup here to make the witnesses afraid? It says the kisei of shlomo kedon b'loyeda.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. You have to have both. You have to have, Shlomo can tell on his own, but a person still has an obligation to say the truth. We won both. Okay, we'll stop with this.